We'd like to get started by making the sound of Om together. And I have a suggestion. Om is the sound of the universe, pervades everything, including each of us. So as we make the sound of Om together today, perhaps we can visualize vibrating in each person here in the room as well as everywhere else. Well, let's first focus on taking three breaths together. And with a deep in breath. We're studying the yoga of action, what we do from the Bhagavad Gita, the song of the Lord. All right, let me jump ahead to a particular verse here. We're going to look at Chapter 3, the Yoga of Action, verse 35. Here we go. It is better to follow your own calling, which is to do your own duty, or dharma, the Sanskrit word for your own calling, which you could think of as your duty. Duty not in the sense of what others expect you to do, but duty in the sense of what you're committed to do for your own personal self, dharma. It is better to follow your own calling, even imperfectly, than someone else's dharma perfectly. Even better to die in your dharma than in another's. Which brings great fear. Satchidananda has some commentary on this, which could be confusing. He's going to talk about this. Follow your own calling, even imperfectly, rather than someone else's dharma. Here's his commentary. Is this a little confusing? He says, what is your dharma and what is someone else's dharma? What you're truly called to do is your own dharma. How do you know what you're truly called to do? How do you know what you're truly call to do rather than what someone else's calling is? How do you know that? How can you be certain of it?
When you feel good about it.
Sorry?
When you feel good about it.
When you feel good about it. When you feel good about it. So keep this in mind. If you have some questions about what is your to-do, what is your duty, internal duty, let's be open to seeing how you might discover that for yourself. He says, what you're truly called to do is your own dharma. It fits your aptitude, your capabilities and your natural inclinations. Well, your dharma has something to do with what's natural for you. The abilities that you have. For example, I remember when I was in high school, unlike some others, I was really good in mathematics. A lot of people complain, oh, it's so hard, it's so difficult. And for me, I did have to work at it and study and memorize some things, but it felt effortless. Effortless. So that's what I chose as my major. Not because it was going to be a source of income for me when I graduated, it just, I just felt inclined to continue on. Until a certain point, and that point was I got a master's in math and went back to work, and I didn't like work. I said, well, I'm going to go back to school and get a PhD in math because that's what I do, math. Anyway, I'd been working for a year. I went to UCLA. They accepted me. I don't know how they did that. In their PhD program for math. And my company agreed to give me part-time off and pay for it. And I sat in a class, I think two classes. And these guys in the class were so smart. They were so far advanced from me. And I found in that class, I didn't give a darn about what we were studying anymore. It didn't interest me, I just didn't care. So my dharma changed. Something changed. Your dharma can change. What you have to do can change depending upon your aptitude, capabilities, and your natural inclination. My natural inclination changed. I like computers, so I did that. And I've been doing it ever since, and I still enjoy it. Your dharma. Constitutionally, your dharma, physical and mental, is to walk. Look at a snake. If you try and call like that, it's not your dharma. It might look cute, but remember, you're created to walk. So how are we created? What are we created for? Don't try to imitate a crawling species. He likes to have fun with these teachings. This is just a rough example, but often we come across this situation. Now he has another example. For example, in the name of equality, being as good as, I'm not any worse than, I want to be as good as, I must do everything he does, you might have decided, as a kid perhaps. Must do everything she does. Only them am I equal to him. If he jumps, I should jump. We often see this in children where a child will admire someone maybe a little stronger, a little older, or a little more, in the case of boys, adroit with girls. I must do everything he does so I can figure out how to be as successful as he is. If he jumps, I should jump. If he flies, I should fly. If he drives a tractor, I should drive a tractor. Sometimes as children, we see people we want to emulate, be like. We admire them. Only then am I equal. Do you see how this way of thinking is a mental construct? It doesn't really have anything to do with our dharma, what our duty is. Rather, it has to do mostly with the emotion of what? What's the emotion undergirding this? There's an emotion undergirding this kind of behavior. What is it?
Like,
what?
Desire to be different. I don't have the word to place it, but it's desire to be different, like a... But fear of not measuring up is another way to put it.
Fear. The emotion is fear. It's fear. afraid of not being respected. Mm-hmm. Afraid of not being respected, wanting to be respected, keeping it a secret. Man, we're not as good as that other fellow, out of fear that he won't like me or love me because I can't do this thing. Fear, which is a mental construct. That attitude is terribly wrong, Satchitananda teaches. Then he says, remember, even science has shown that there is no duplication in creation. No two snowflakes are exactly the same. As such, you are also unique, like a snowflake. You have been created unique with certain abilities that no other person can do. Someone else may be able to do some of the things you do, but the totality of who you are, a combination of certain abilities, no other person can do. And in Sanskrit, there's a word for it, and that's svadharma, your individual and particular duty. So there's a word in Sanskrit. Sanskrit has all these great words for behavior, consciousness. Svadharma is your own particular duty, your own particular calling. Your dharma is just what is yours to do, but in that, it's crafted for you. It's called Svadharma. Find out what your Svadharma is, what your calling is, what your duty is. What star should I be following? Is the question. What star have I been following? Your Svadharma. Ask yourself, how do I feel when doing certain things? I feel good, right? Yeah, how do I feel? Maybe in the other situation which he talked about, how do I feel? I'm fearful. I'm fearful he won't love me. He won't respect me. I'm fearful the other children won't play with me. It's fine. Don't have the skill. How do I feel? Does something come easily? Is it natural for me, or am I trying to imitate somebody? First, take stock of your natural inclinations and your capability. Which is your tastes, your temperament, and capacity? Is it becoming more clear now what your particular calling is, what your quote-unquote duty is, your svadharma. Is your calling, does it have anything to do with what you're doing right now? Personally, socially, work-wise, spiritual-wise, all those areas of your life. Can you see that you're following your calling, your duty? Or is there some aspect of what you're doing today that's uncomfortable for you? You're doing it because you think you should. Your father told you, this is what you should do. And you didn't want to earn the disrespect of your father. You've been doing it ever since. Even though perhaps didn't feel comfortable in this. There's movies made about this challenge for young men where the father wants the son to be a doctor or a dentist. And the son asks the father who's paying for the college, well, I want to major in art or history. And the family puts pressure on the student to be what they want him to be, out of love, because they want their son or daughter to be able to support themselves and their family. And yet, And if the person went that way, it would be in conflict with their svadharma. And all their life, they might look back at that time when they knew what was theirs to do and chose not to, didn't have the strength to go their own path. It's never, ever, ever too late to follow your own calling. Never. Never, no matter what you've done or where you are. If you can get in touch with it. Has something to do with your taste, your temperament, and your capacity. Is it getting more clear? Questions?
You know, it's interesting when I realize that maybe I'm not following my svadharma. To change that, you know, career sometimes just doesn't make sense. So I think it's gradual. I think it's better than. Does that make sense? I'm just trying to speak out loud.
If there's a part of you that feels there's something else calling you, you have to look carefully to see what's appropriate for you. Is it appropriate for you to drop everything, jump into this thing that you know you want to head to, but you're not 100% sure about it. You're sort of 35.5%. So what's yours to do? There's an infinite number of ways to behave and things to do. There are many, many ways we can choose our path. And I think you hit upon it. When the direction feels good, feels just right, suddenly it feels natural, then perhaps then you hit upon a natural way to proceed.
I think it's very difficult in life because sometimes we're born thinking that whatever it costs us, whatever we struggle in getting, is worth it. Whatever comes, if it's not. But I think it's the opposite, what you are saying. Mm. Because things that come in life easily is what are meant for us.
Yes.
We shouldn't fight for things, and we shouldn't know the moment that it's like a wall. We should just try to get something that is going to make us easy, because I think life is in a struggle every day if we don't look that way.
Mm.
And I guess it's something that gives us the stress and everything. It's not that you have to give up in every obstacle, but I think obstacles are there, meaning that it's not your svadharma. I feel
yes.
That way.
Yesterday we went to a Christmas party, and one of our people lives on our block. There was a Christmas party every year, and it's a great time to meet the neighbors and to get acquainted with some new neighbors. When we moved into our neighborhood, we were the young people there 30-some years ago. Everybody else was older. Now we're the oldest one in the neighborhood. And all the families who've been in, moved in have children. And one woman who sees me came over and said, I'm retired. She says, what do you do? She was curious what I did, so I told her. And I said, well, what do you do? She says, oh, well, she's got three kids. Well, there's soccer and there's swimming, and I like to play tennis, so I go play tennis, and then I'm part of a reading club, and I go read books at this reading club. And then there's always laundry, it's always going. I don't have the time to fold it anymore. I just do the laundry. And she's busy. Oh, cooking. Yeah, she cooks too. Oh, and she cleans. I said, you need a wife to come clean for you. He cleans and does all the cooking. Then she told me, she said, this is my time of life to do that. It's not always going to be this way. This is my time of life to raise my children, put them on a good path, take care of them, feed them, clean them, train them. And we felt stressed about it, but happy and contented. This was hers to do. She knew. She knew. And later I can see this woman doing other things when her children are older and perhaps leave home. So that's her sadharma, her calling. Good thing she's a younger person, because it takes a lot of energy to do all that. With some things, it's so natural. You're like a fish in water. You just know, that's what I meant to do. In Sanskrit, it's called your Sadharma. But remember, Sadharma is different from karma. Karma is the things you do right now. So in the Sanskrit language, karma means everything you've done and the consequences of having done certain things, the natural consequences. Karma is just an action based on a selfish interest. Karma is just what you do. You have some inclination to do something and you do it. Svadharma is something that is the right thing to do, and righteous in that sense. It's the right thing for you to do. It's something completely natural to you that you could do to benefit others.
Did he use the actual word selfish?
Sorry?
Is this a quote? Did he use the word selfish?
Oh, yeah, I quote
him. So interesting that he places a descriptive, possibly judgmental word, selfish. Or maybe our culture just looks at selfish like that, but
we put a judgmental interpretation on selfish. We say, don't be selfish. Mm-hmm. You're a selfish, as if that's something bad. Mm-hmm. The core meaning of selfish is that one is only thinking of one's own self. By nature, we think of oneself. It's natural to do that. When we put our finger on the fire and get burned, we learn that's not a good thing to do. So in our selfish interest, we learn all these things to protect and preserve ourselves. Those are selfish. There's another way of acting in addition to being selfish. So sometimes you're selfish, thinking of yourself. You need to be. You need to feed yourself, get some rest, exercise. Selfish, good. Those are good selfish things to do. In other areas of your life, you can be selfless. In other words, thinking of others, acting for the benefit of others. And you can even look at your selfish actions as being selfless. I don't harm myself. I don't stop feeding myself or breathing so that I can be available to be of service to others, to be selfless. Good to be selfish in many, many areas of our life. Satchitananda is suggesting not all. In some areas, doing something that's natural that you do to benefit others. That's selfless action. Selfless action. How can I be of service to others? How can I make myself useful? So now he's adding that Svadharma is not only what is ours to do, but it ought to have the quality of being selfless action for the benefit of others. That's truly what our duty is. We talk about it in unity all the time. We talk about it as love. The whole sermon today was about love. Love. And love is founded on selfless action. Right? Benefit of others. You can't say my Svadharma is to steal. I feel naturally inclined to take something from somebody's pocket. It's to my taste. No, that's a selfish thing. And in a way, if you go very deep, it's not even selfish. No, selfish means I'm doing it for my benefit. But we know from a deep spiritual context that when you take something that doesn't belong to you, in a deep sense, it harms you. It harms you, doesn't it? When you hurt someone else or do something wrong, it harms you. So it seems selfish on the superficial level, but at a deep level, it's not selfish. You're hurting yourself. And of course, it isn't selfless either. It's just wrong. No, 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 he says. The word dharma always implies the benefit of others. What's yours to do? And if that's hard for you to conceptualize or deal with in your life, there are other ways that you can cast this way of thinking. For example, the scriptures also recommend that you dedicate everything you do to God. Dedicate every action to the Lord. Eating your breakfast, dedicating that to the Lord. Coming to Unity Fairfax, dedicating that to God. Going to work and providing for yourself, dedicating that to God. Supporting your friends, family, dedicating that to God. That's also for another way of looking at benefit of others. So there's no personal desire behind it. We've already talked about personal desire, how some personal desires are helpful, useful, good, and I have a desire to feed myself, and I have a desire to keep breathing. So there's a whole host of personal desires that support us so that we can act more deeply as in a selfless manner instead of others. So it's not black and white, is it? It's not like all personal desires are bad. Rather, if our whole life and everything we do is consumed with personal desires, all the reactive patterns we have, thinking about it, this, as he points out, is not our dharma. Got it? No personal desire behind it. Think what your Svadharma is and try to do it. If you're an expert cook, that's your Svadharma. It just came to you naturally. Good, he says. Cook for everybody. But if you're naturally inclined to work somewhere in the field, then that's your Svadharma at this time. May not be in the future. But today, that's your Svadharma, your duty. And your Svadharma may change over the years. We just talked about that, didn't we? And my friends, that's what I have prepared for you today, which is the end of last week's talk. Any questions or observations you'd like to share amongst yourselves?
Could it be that one is frightened or terrified to follow the inner true?
So what I hear you saying is, what if you have some inclination, this is what's mine to do, but there's some fear associated with it. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I know that I had kind of a calling that just kept coming back and back and back. And
knew I wanted to follow it. And then basically it was teaching. But I was going down the path of, engineering and there's a lot of forces that kind of push you in a certain direction if you just allow it to go. And I kind of had to forge my own path, and it was difficult. And it didn't feel good for a while because I was not making a whole lot of money.
Yes.
And not feeling very good about everything that was happening in my life. But I guess I just was trying to be true to what I knew I had that calling, you know.
Yes. That was your calling. So you went with it, had some obstacles, and I'm hearing you stuck with it.
Yeah, and I did, yes. And it's certainly not the most lucrative of careers, but I never look back and think, I wish I'd stayed on the other path.
Yes. I had a teacher once, his name was Mr. Schaefer. He was my math teacher. Maybe that's where I got my inclination towards math, Mr. Schaefer. They brought Mr. Schaefer into my high school many, many years ago in the 50s, which dates me. And he was a very qualified teacher, and the reason we got him was Russia had just sent up the Sputnik, the satellite. Well, this country didn't want to let Russia get ahead of us, did we? So they poured some money into the school systems to train children better. And our school was able to hire Mr. Schaefer, who was a very qualified teacher. And Mr. Schaefer was inspirational. I think he inspired many children, including me. I'm not sure he made a lot of money, but what a gift he gave. What a legacy.
Got it.
You know, you can make a lot of money, and maybe things are a bit easier here and there, but money is just energy. And if you've ever experienced the turn down in the stock market, you know the money comes. And the money goes. It's going these days. It's going. But that gift that the teacher you give never goes.
Yeah.
I made a similar but different decision than you when I went to work years ago. I'd been in the computer business and I got tired of it. And I had a friend. He said, why don't you come work for Aramco in Saudi Arabia? And I said, oh, okay. He was working there and he had a good position. I'm a sort of an adventurous type person. I like to do adventurous things. And it was getting really boring back home. And my wife at the time agreed. So he said, well, what do you do? What can you do? And I told him. I'd actually taught graduate school in math, so I could do that, and I was in the computer business. He said, oh, well, you can get a job here at Saudi Aramco as a teacher in the high school there, because they have their own school, or you can get a job as a programmer. I said, oh, great. I said, what do they pay? He said, the teacher gets this much. I said, oh. He said, the programmer gets this much. I said, that's for me. So I had two Svadharmas that appealed to me, teaching and the computer work, and the money swung me. But as you can see from today, I never stopped teaching. Just didn't do it as a career. Well, that's not true. I taught later on in night classes and things. So how do you feel about your career choice, looking back at it right now?
I feel like I've somehow just gotten the perfect job, and I just love it.
Wonderful. Good for you. No regrets.
No.
Great. Good story. You could have taught the class. Any other sharing? Yes.
In my life, Svadharma has been the easiest path, even though sometimes it's difficult. It's the energy that just brings like opportunity to your door. But my first word I was going to choose is path of least resistance, but then I understand that I resisted it completely, at least in the beginning, with my human goals or my young person. I don't know, when I was first entering college, I was like, oh, I'm going to pick this and I'm going to go this way. And that's almost like telling, like a sailor creating their own course. They chart a course and go where the ocean takes them, and that's how they get to the other side versus forcing their way. So
it's a good analogy.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been able to appreciate the ease that surely comes from the natural, like the naturality of Svadharma, but I appreciate the ease, and that's what keeps me out of my own head and out of forcing my way in this world.
Yes, when you're in your head, it's easy to pick a path that's not going to work very well. So, is it time for us to close? It's 5. Are you going to the service today?
I have to go meet my daughters.
Well, let's close because we're all done now, and it's 5 to 11, and that's when we close. So we'll close again with the sound of Om. We've had wonderful energy here today.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So let's sense that Om energy in each of us as we make the sound. So we'll begin by taking 3 conscious breaths. And with a deep in-breath. Om. Go with peace.